Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come in the only way that you can come. Be yourself. Let your spirit move on us, Lord. May we feel your presence as we our ears feel the words. May our hearts feel the anointing and the movement of your Holy Spirit as we give you praise this day in Jesus' name. We want to have the opportunity to share with you this morning from the subject, Salvation, We Can Work It Out. I'm going to read scripture and then they're going to play a video of a song by Stevie Wonder. He had a song, We Can Work It Out. He's talking about working it out between the relationship with two people. I'm going to modify that in the message of working it out between the relationship with us, with God. But we're going to sweat today. Let me read the scripture and have Stevie talk with you. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, you would find these words. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, underline this next verse, line in your hearts. Continue to work out your salvation. Now, let me pause for a moment. The Puritans would read this word and believe our works was our faith. That is incorrect. What are you going to find out today is that all of us have something in us. I'm going to share scripture. All of us have sin in the path to salvation, and we have to work that out of us, so that is manifested in us. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose.
I see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love is soon be gone. We can work it out, we can work it out. Think of what you're saying, you can get it wrong and still think that it's alright. Think of what I'm saying, we can work it out and get straight and sing it out. So
feeling. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Work it out, my baby. Work it out, my baby.
Hey, trust in my way. Only tell the chillin' my everybody have gone.
Amen. Let me share some elementary communication. You cannot give what you do not have. We cannot work out anything that's not within us. We either work stuff in us or we work stuff out of us. But it is with us either way. Now, let me share with you. All of us, according to Scripture, were born with sin, in sin. Let me read the Scripture and explain that a little bit. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we find these words. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all sinned. So all of us are born with a seed of sin within us. In Galatians chapter 2, it shares that in all humanity, we're born with the gift of God's breath in us. Genesis 2:7 reads, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed. Now the Greek word for breathe here is pneuma. It means breath or movement of the Holy Spirit. Breathe into his nostrils and the man from death became a living being. Let me go back to sin. In seminary, we call that original sin. Sin first enters into the world in Genesis chapter 3, and we're all born with original sin. God breathed his pneuma into Adam, and when then God created Eve from Adam, she was created with that pneuma within her. So all of us have a sin nature in the Holy Spirit nature within us. I want to share a story, and one of the things I do as a therapist, I study different cultures, and it's interesting how different cultures express things in different ways. But I want to borrow from the Native American culture. There's a story where a young Native American boy was being bullied by another boy. And the Native American grandson went to his grandfather, explained his situation, and wanted to know why people were mean-spirited. And the grandfather explained it this way. All people have two wolves within them. Those wolves will always be in battle with each other, and one will grow stronger than the other. And the grandson asked, well, Grandpa, they're going to fight against each other. Which one wins? The grandfather said, the one you work out with.
Come on now. Come on now.
Stay with me. The one you work out with. There are two wolves, my grandson. One is light, and the other one is dark. Are y'all with me? Your entire life will be embedded with those two wolves at battle within you, the light and the dark one. Let me break down the characteristics of the light wolf. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it unfolds the characteristics of the light wolf within all of us. It talks about the acts of the flesh. You see, there's two parts of us, the flesh and the spirit. Galatians, Paul explains it this way. The acts of the flesh are what? Are such sexual immorality. Now, I want you to know this is not abiotic theology. This is scripture. sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. I want everybody to hear. Anybody or anything that you care for or love more than God is idolatry. Idolatry is to worship another God. For some of us, our children are our idolatry. Our spouse, our puppy, our car. I've seen people, you scratch their car and they're ready to shoot you. Anything, there are many people when they lose a loved one, we blaming God. Why did God take my grandchild? Because some drunk driver hit them. Isn't it interesting what we blame God on? God claimed to give life, Satan death. We're pointing at the wrong person. But my point is, ask yourself, echo in your own mind, is there anybody in your life, if they die today, would you reject God? And I want you to hear my heart. That's your idolatry. I want to remind you that it's in you. Witchcraft, hatred, discord. One way I avoid discord is I want to know when I go in the room who's in charge. I don't tell people in charge what to do, and you shouldn't tell them what to do. If you can't work with your pastor, you find another church. You leave your, and I'm not just talking about this pastor, any pastor. Not everybody is called, but there are a lot of people who call themselves in the name of Christ. But that's still not your job. Are you with me? See, there's tension in the homes. We want to know who washed the dishes last. Really? I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going. Are you jealous of anybody? That's of the flesh. Do you have fits of rage? Everybody who comes to me with an attitude is blaming somebody for their attitude. Do y'all hear me? Everybody who comes to me as a therapist with their attitude is blaming somebody else about their attitude, their rage. Selfish ambition. I haven't seen it here, but just about every church I served as a pastor, if you sat in their seat, they had a spiritual attitude. Do y'all hear me? That's how you bless Satan with a spiritual attitude. You sitting in my seat. My mama wouldn't sit in my seat. Your mama's not here. Do y'all hear me? I mean, we laughing, but I really have people have attitude like that. I'm sure nobody's here like that. So I'm seeing where y'all sitting. I'm going to sit in your seat next time. I hear the brother saying, you better not come back. Dissensions, fractions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, all these things, I want you to hear me. Again, this is not abiotic theology. All these things will keep you out of heaven according to Scripture. You can blame them all you want. All these things will keep you out of heaven according to Scripture. Hear this. No one, nada, that's Spanish for nothing. No one can feed your light wolf but you. Did you hear what I said? No one can feed your light wolf but you. I don't care what they said about your mama, your daddy, you, your children. They don't care what your breath stink, your shoes are too big. I don't care what they say. Nobody can feed that wolf but you. You can say, he made me hate them because they're being so mean to me. I don't care what he or she did, you are feeding your light wolf. You can play the shame game, the name game, the game game, but at the end, your game gains no fame in the kingdom of God. No one can make you mad. You decide to get mad. You decide if you're going to get mad or when others can make you angry, as I teach. In that moment, emotionally and spiritually, that person who can make you angry, that person who can make you mad, that person that can make you depressed, that person controls you in that moment. If anybody can make you do what you don't want to do, they control you. And some of us leave the house ready to be controlled. When I get to work and she look at me a certain way, I'm going to tell her off. She controlled you before you left your house. Are y'all listening to me? And don't all you be calling my number looking for an appointment tonight. This is your spiritual counseling session. Come on, let's keep going. Can we keep going? How many of you remember Flip Wilson? Okay, y'all young. Most of the people here are young. Let me teach you a little bit. Flip Wilson was a comedy show that whenever he did something, he didn't want to take blame for it. He said, who made him do it? There you go. You listen to the older people. The devil made. Get some wisdom. Listen to the older people. The devil made them. And we're still saying, when we blame people, what we saying? The devil made me do it. And what you saying is you claiming Satan over Jesus Christ. Are y'all hearing me? Now, let me be clear to you. Let me be clear to you. I shared this with my folk this morning. You cannot run from Satan. I want you to be clear. Are y'all with me? Yeah. You can't run from Satan. Well, Dr. Abelli, can you tell me what? How do I get away from Satan? See, as long as you focus on Satan, you focusing in the wrong direction. If you focusing on the cross, you're already moving away. See, we spend too much. Oh, they don't like me, folks on Satan. They made me mad, folks on Satan. Oh, I'm going to get them back, folks on Satan. I don't want to go to work. I'm depressed because I got to work. You are focusing on Satan. See, you know, if you really want to be ghetto cool, do you want to be ghetto cool? This is how you be ghetto cool. You see that person acting? Headed towards the cross. Do I look good? And it tells the cross.
Amen. Amen.
You gotta give it to Jesus. Stop running into that stuff. Yes. You can't run from Jesus, but you can run from Satan, but you can run to Jesus. Are y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
The most significant question before us is not how we feed the light wolf. How do we feed the dark wolf? Let me break that down. Another way of asking that same perplexing question is, how do I work out my salvation? Not working out your salvation, it's not about what you do. Stay with me. If this is too complex, you may have to call me. I don't think it is. It's not about what you do, it's about what you be. Let me break that down for a minute. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
See, you can do things and not be. I've seen guys give roses to women and say, I love you, but their intentions were the bedroom.
Yeah.
You doing the right thing for the wrong reason. You can do the right thing and not be right. You cannot be right and do the wrong thing.
Wow.
Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
Do I need to repeat it? We good?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody said repeat it. All right. That's okay. Y'all heard the parable about the one lost sheep? I do read the Bible every now and then. You can do good and be wrong. Because you're doing good for the wrong reason. You're being, you can't be good, one with Christ, and do wrong. See, I've been married, how long have we been married, sweetheart? Talk to me.
Almost 41 years.
I was just going to say 41. Yeah, my wife is literal. Now, let me share that. I want you to be real clear. Everybody, I want you to be real clear. I have not been unfaithful to my wife because she's a good wife or I'm a good husband. I've been faithful because of my relationship with God. See, there are a lot of people preaching this morning have not been faithful to their spouse. Okay? And I'm not trying to criticize them. I'm just saying I'm speaking to you, not them. You can't be right, even when you do right. How many times, don't say anything, everybody be quiet, okay? How many people have you known they did stuff in the church and they worked hard in the church and nobody said thank you and they had an attitude? They were doing it for the wrong reason. When I do something for you and I expect something, and I tell any boy who wants to date my daughter, I want you to be real clear, homie. I take off my pastor hat, my therapist hat. I go hood. I said, Robin Hood, jump back, Jack. I got this one. When you pay for that dinner with my daughter, that don't give you any rights. So you hear me? Yes, Dr. Happy. When you look at her, don't look at her too long. I don't want you to give her mixed messages. That's my daughter. Until somebody marries her, that's my responsibility. Are y'all with me this morning? I want whoever's in my house to know Jesus Christ. I want you to stay with the word. I want you to feed you. In order to do things in the kingdom of God that are loving, we have to do it because it's not about you. It's about your relationship with Christ. In your marriage, your walk, in the church, in the community, even in your job. My wife signed me up. She says she signed both of us up. I don't believe it. She signed me up. They have this, Michigan has this, what was that? They had to take my blood. My chem program. They wanted to test the water, you know, and take your blood. They took about 6 vials of blood out of me. I said, whoa, is Dracula behind the curtain? And then they had to sign all this stuff that they can give everybody and their mama my phone number. I didn't know, you know, if it was my wife, I would have ended right there. I said, I can't go my wife. She asked me to do it. I'm a faithful husband. Can I get some sympathy, ladies? Thank you very much. Okay, now stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Are y'all with me? After they took all that blood, all right, they said, well, you qualify now for a $25 gift card. It wasn't worth $25. People go, the blood bank, give just one vial. You took 6 home, girl. Now, I want y'all to know I have a spiritual attitude. Are y'all praying for me? I have no business preaching this morning. I have a spiritual attitude. And on the way out, they were asking, they found out I was a therapist. So one young lady said, I'm 24. What do I need to do to be happily married? I said, listen, that's a loaded question, girl. And they offered me another gift card. Now, I almost told her, you know what? If we were in California, I can get $300 for this advice to you. Basically, I share what you need to be realized. I want everybody to hear me. We tend to let our emotions drive us, and we define our emotions as our faith. And then when you let your emotions guide you, you get married, you get in a relationship, you're talking about what did God do? We're blaming God. You blame yourself. You follow your emotions. You didn't follow the heart that God had given you for him. I don't want your $25. I want an opportunity to point you to Jesus Christ. It's not about what you do. It's about who you be. Can I finish out here? Y'all okay? I don't care what your cousin said about y'all. You cannot truly be a disciple. We're talking about being, okay? We're talking about being. You cannot truly be a disciple of Christ and carry hate. You cannot truly be a disciple of Christ and carry gossip. You know what Christians do? We say, listen, I don't gossip. God, just for this hiccup moment, can I talk about them for a minute? And then I'll pray about it. We okay, God? God goes into homie mode. I don't play that homie. You cannot truly be a Christian and choose to live in sin because your being defines what you do. Your doing does not define what you be. So there are two things left to question, and then I'm going to close out. How do we work out our salvation? Let me start off by giving you a basic illustration. I think I did this before. Say, I want you to work with me, okay? Work with me. Smile, man. Look all mad. Don't come on me. I'm going to beat up the pastor. That's called a spiritual attitude. Heal in the name of Jesus, girl. Say, give me
$100. Give me $100.
And she got serious on that one. Now, are y'all with me? That's my wallet. Tell me if you find $100 in there, you can have it. And she took it too. I tell you what, I feel so bad. Take whatever. No. Stay with me. I want you to take all the cash out of there. No, stay with me. Take the cash. And that's my repentance. Because you were attitude. Hey, I saw in her face, ding! It was all in her face, y'all. Are we okay? I won't use you anymore. Oh, yeah. I wish there was a camera on her face, bro. I want a couple of guys walk out with me after the service. Amen. And you know, she didn't hesitate to take that. Some people said, no, that's a great. You know what? You my girl. You're okay. Let me be close. You're okay. Y'all okay. I'm not coming back, but y'all okay. Now, there are two things I want to close out with. One, give Christ our full attention, heart, and body. And then two, communion with God. I want to share this. Now, you heard, I can't give anything I don't have. Are y'all with me? So what I have in me are the stuff of Christ I want to work out with me. Are y'all with me so far? Okay, don't anybody get a heart attack. Watch me now. Come on. Hold that, sweetheart. I'm going to have to answer my wife for this at home. Did y'all read that? Yeah. See, when I went to the gym, I weighed almost 200 pounds. I weighed 170. Now, no, hear me. It's not about the weight. Y'all are all going to get lost. It's about my heart, to discipline my heart for God. Amen. And I want to, everybody who sees me in the gym sees a scripture or something about God. When I used to go to the gym, the guys would be cussing in there. When I go in there, instead of getting mad running from Satan, I ran to the cross. When somebody would cuss, I say, can I pray with you? Amen. Guess what? You go in the gym now, you don't hear anything like that. See, I didn't want to run from them. I wanted to run to the cross. And see, when you run to the cross, even people who don't like you are watching you. It's about running to the cross. I want to work out my salvation. You work out what's in you. You got a bad attitude? You working out what's in you. You a loving person? You working out what's in you. You will always work out what's in you. And when it's with Satan, you'll always blame others for what's in you. Two things I'm going to close out. Are we okay? I'm going to try to do 7 minutes. I'm going to try to beat your pastor. Give Christ our full attention, heart, souls, and bodies. Now, let me share a scripture with you. Hebrews 5:9 says, once made perfect, he became, talking about Jesus, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, keeping the greatest commandment in the Bible. Do you know what the greatest commandment in the Bible is? Let me read Matthew 22:36-38. Teacher, this is the disciples asking Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Oh, I had to show off a little bit there. And all your mind. Are you with me? All right, that's, you know what? That person just laughed. I can tell you, I can guarantee you, at midnight tonight, they're going to be thinking about that, and they're going to bust out laughing. And your husband going to say, what you laughing about? Oh, nothing, you liar. Oh, y'all hear what she said? She said, he's so pitiful. You had to say that out loud. I want you to know I'm not coming back. I ain't take that abuse at home. I don't even come to church for that. No, you're okay. But you hear what I'm saying? Whatever's in us, what we work out, they don't put us in it. They don't put us in it. It's there. It's what wolf that you feed that will come out. And the second thing is have communion. Let me just talk to you. I'm not even going to read the rest of that. Communion. Now, when I say communion, I'm not simply just talking about Holy Communion. Matter of fact, you know what I've done in my church? And I'm not advising anybody else to do that. I don't give communion every first Sunday. You know why? It just becomes a tradition. It's really lost its meaning in many churches. We're just doing it. It's like the painting on the wall. And when you first get it, oh, that's so beautiful. Anybody, you ever go into my house and soon, first thing they do is grab you and take you to the picture that they just spent $1,000 on? 2 years later, they're not pushing you anymore. We do the same thing with communion. We need to commune with God. What does communing God means? Let me share this and then I'm going to close out. As a therapist, I want you to hear there are three major, in general, of all cultures, reasons for healthy relationships and unhealthy. The three major ones are communication, relationship. Since the Industrial Revolution, we have gotten more separated from each other. We think we're more connected by computer. We're not. We're connected by computer. We're not connected intimately. You can touch the computer. You can't touch the person. Anybody go to sports? It's a whole different thing from watching the game on TV and being there. Are y'all with me? We're not there anymore. We turn to the TV for relationships. Communion is having a relationship with God. And you need to hear this. Many people try to find God in just reading scripture. You can read a love letter, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't really know the person. Knowing the person is having a prayer life. I'm amazed. When I was a district superintendent, I saw 78 pastors. I had pastors tell me that they were too busy to pray. I want you to hear another thing. Any of you, you can raise your hands. Now, any of you have friends that when you see their name on the phone, you know that you're going to hear a complaint? Now, put your hands down. Most Christians are like your friends. When we pray to God, it's always about a complaint. It's always about the complaint. How many of you want to be married to somebody all the time you hear them, they're complaining? The first conversation is being thanking God. No matter what's going on, we have some reason to thank God. To talk to God about how much you love him. Have that type of relationship with God. And then share your complaint. It was not my theory. I got it from someone else. They call the relationship the bank account. The more money you put in the bank, the more you can do what? Take out, right? There are too many people taking out loans because they didn't invest anything positive in the relationship. Let me start all over. Onika said I had to say it again. I got Onika on one side and a beat me up on the other side. I'm saying it again. All right? You walking out with me. It's a theory of giving. I heard another person saying, I think he read my book, but I'm good with that, that a relationship, any relationship is like a bank account. Are you with me? The more you put into that account, the more you can do what? Take out that account. Now, when your account is zero or low, you got to do what? Get a loan. Now, when you get a loan, the Bible speaks about this, but I'm not doing therapy today. When you get a loan, here, let me tell you something. For example, if you buy a house, how long do you get a loan when you buy a house? 30 years? 30 years? Mm-hmm. Car is about 7, right? If you get a loan, hear this. Dr. Abiyade told you. You get a loan. The bank's not going to like me. When you get a loan for 30 years, I want you to hear me. You bought one and a half houses for the bank. One and a half houses. So I work with people like that because that's one of the biggest reasons for attention and relationship. What I do is if I want something, for example, I'm thinking about buying my wife another car. She didn't know that about 4 years. Now, I'm putting money away. I'm putting money away. You know why? Because what I would pay the bank money, I pay myself. So it's about spiritual discipline. You discipline, you put the money away, you don't have to borrow from anybody. I mean, a house makes sense. But a lot of us borrowing money have no reason at all. Then we say we can't tithe. You can't discipline yourself. It's not about your tithe. It's about your discipline. And too many of us are arguing, fussing, and fighting and wondering why we're walking in different ways. We're not depositing anything. And we're just talking about what we can't do, why we can't get along. Now, what's my point? And I'm closing out. Communion with God is that positive things about God that we think in God. You know, I don't care how bad you are. I grew up in Harlem, New York. Even the people I didn't like did something good every now and then. There's a little good in all of us. And the more we commune with God, the more we see that good in all of us. The more we commune with God, the more we feed that dark wolf. Oh, man. In 3 more minutes, you're going to call me Pastor Durham, so I'm going to stop. I want to pray with you. He's my man. Isn't his wife wonderful? Can we give his wife a hand? I want you to know that Pastor Durham does that. He gets slapped over the head. I don't know. I got some men walk with me out today. I want to pray with you. But my prayer for you all to hear my heart, that you would feed the right wolf in you. We all have it. When you leave church, somebody may try to cut you off. Somebody's going to remind you something you did wrong. Somebody going to let you know in the gentle way they don't like you. That's going to happen. But you have to decide whether you're running from Satan that you're looking at, or you're running towards Christ. Because what the direction you stand is the wolf you feed. Let's stand and pray together. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, because in all of us, there's a wolf. And all of us will feed one wolf or the other. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, anoint us with your Holy Spirit, so that when the storms of life surround us, when the thunder, lightning bolts shake the ground, when the clouds seem to speak, get out of my way, faith will allow us to pierce that cloud and see the sunshine in the midst of that cloudy day. Oh, Lord, help us to feed the right wolf that we may give you praise. Help us to feed the right wolf that we can talk with somebody. I want to be so close to you. When somebody says, Dr. Abadie, what's your address? It's 227 Heaven. How do you know? Because I know my faith. Help us, Lord, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our friendships, on our jobs, with the loss and the boss. Help us, Lord, to walk towards the cross that we may feed that wolf and give you praise. Let your anointing fall on us, Lord. Help us to give you praise even in the storm. Help us to give you praise even in the hate. Help us to give you praise even in the misunderstanding. Help us, Lord, to be who you called us to be, that we may give you praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you leave, I know who normally is down here to pray for folk. Come on down. Come on, greeters. Y'all join them too. Y'all ministry. Get up there. Don't look at me like that. Listen, I want you to hear me. All of us have two wolves. I want you leave if you want to, but I want to invite you to come down and have them to pray for that wolf that we want to give feed and give to Christ. Amen. God bless you, everybody.